Hello, and welcome to My Dog Will Eat My Face, episode 18 of season 2, I believe. And this episode, I want to do just a short deep dive into something I've often alluded to throughout many episodes, and obviously made some sort of comical reference in the title of my podcast itself. But let me get to the topic here. What I really want to emphasize today is just how amazing it is to have a furry little friend as your companion when you're dealing with these deep, dark, visceral issues. It is absolutely a relief when that happens, because I love my dogs, and that's who I'm talking about, and I love my current dog. They've been my best friends, and my current dog is my best friend. And without that companionship and that love, I know I would have crumbled and failed many times when dealing with heavy emotional things. So I know that that is something that doctors will often say, and that is, getting a pet of some sort will fill that void that you might be experiencing. Yeah. Your emotions at the moment. It is so hard to go through these things, these medical issues, and to do it all by yourself, even if you have family support. It says so much when you have someone there who loves you so much and helps you through those moments. I mean, I've said it before. I've said it before to an ex of mine, actually. I said, hey, listen, I appreciate it when you give me a hug and a smooch and welcome me home after a hard day at work. But let's be just honest about it. You're not going to be coming up to the door wiggling your butt and shaking it like mad. And jumping up and down, you're so happy to see me. That's never gonna happen. So sorry, you lose. In terms of enthusiasm, you lose to my dog at the time, who unfortunately passed away. I'll talk more about that. But I've openly said that to my ex. God, I wonder why that relationship broke up. Huh. Anyway. I won't linger anymore with the intro. I think I've said enough about what I'll be talking about today. And if you would like to join me and hear more about what I have to say about this, great. If not, go out in the garden or something and find some poison ivy or something. I don't care. Do something else. But I want to talk today about how those friendships have truly saved me in the darkest of times. So obviously I have a particular affinity for the canine variety of pet that I included a reference to them in the name of my podcast itself. Although I made a kind of a gruesome reference to them in my podcast name. I did so out of jest, but it still is quite a possibility that that's exactly what will happen. So, just saying. But truth being told, people don't give enough credit where it's due, I think. Where having an animal. Now, this is what you'll hear a therapist say. Having an animal can really improve any setting of emotional discomfort. And I totally agree with that, but I think it needs to go a little bit deeper than just any animal. I mean, let's face it. If you had, I don't know, an earthworm for a pet, I don't know how much emotional comfort it's going to provide to you. Maybe it will. I guess I truly have never tried having an earthworm pet, so I guess I wouldn't know. Maybe it's a thrill and a delight having an earthworm as a pet, but I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it, and I doubt that's the kind of pet that will help see you through the darkest of times in your life. And so, looking further at what psychiatrists say, they'll sometimes give room to things such as cats, dogs, even like horses and bunnies, I think they say will help. And I would probably agree with that. If it's a more advanced creature of any sort, certainly will provide some degree of assistance. But let's break that down even further. I don't think a bunny is going to really bring you much assistance, because bunnies aren't going to know, one, what the hell you're talking about. I've never seen a bunny respond to commands, know its names, know your name, tell if you're sad or if you're happy. Seems to be that all they do is think about making other bunnies and eating and pooping and peeing and eating and making more bunnies. That seems to be the only thing they really care about. Truth be told, petting it will release some good hormones, I guess, in your brain. What do you call it? Oxytocin, I think, will be released to some extent when you pet something that's furry. I think that's true. But that's all you're probably going to get for that. And I know I'm going to take a lot of heat for this. A lot of heat. But I think cats score way down on the ladder as well. And I know there's a lot of cat fans out there. They're going to be wanting to come after me with a scimitar now. But truth being told, cats really don't care about you. they just don't. If you committed suicide tomorrow, they really wouldn't care. They just look for a new source of food. I mean, they're not that attached. Certainly they'll come to you for attention and like pets. And that helps. That would certainly help someone who's depressed or dealing with a difficult time. So I won't say they wouldn't help. They would help. But I don't know. Cats generally don't know commands. They don't know names. They don't know your name or their name. They don't know really much of anything. And part of the problem with cats, I swear this is what I'm about to say, is a true story. They were not originally domesticated on purpose, like dogs were, for example. They were basically totally an accident when it comes to domestication. They, historically, going back thousands upon thousands of years, would attack and eat the vermin, the rats or the mice, that would get into the granaries, especially in ancient Egypt. And so since those times, humans have sort of tolerated cats. They're a welcome accident because they were helping to get rid of the vermin that was eating their wheat and their foodstuffs and the granaries that they needed to survive. So cats were a welcome addition. And that's why slowly over time, Egyptians really revered cats and deified them. And even mummified them because, well, not all of them, but some of them. But it's because that relationship really grew out of that, and they knew darn well that those cats were helping keep them alive by killing the rats and the mice. You notice there's no rat or mice headed gods or veneration or mummification in Egypt, they were never a pleasant feature then, much like today. And then the problem was, is what exactly as I said, and Katz got rid of that issue. So that, again, they were just a welcome addition to our lives. Now then, I'd say above that, you'd have animals like horses. I think horses definitely have feelings. They definitely have feelings for their owners or their riders. They definitely have exhibited emotions. I mean, they exhibit trust and not trust very well. And that is a pretty complex concept right there. Do I trust this creature, you know, and being able to build that trust is actually a pretty advanced sense of self and others, I think. So I think it's been very well demonstrated as well, too, that horses do exhibit emotions and likes and dislikes. And humans and horses go way back, obviously. And that could be why. But we don't have horses in our home, really. But, you know, if you live in an area where you can do equestrian therapy, so to speak, and ride a horse or learn to ride a horse, that would probably help tremendously in any emotional battle you're dealing with, I think. I think that would be very helpful. But if you're like me and you live in a city of 3.5 million people, that's not too easy. I can't park a horse in the front of my apartment or something, you know, to without bothering the neighbors at least, and, you know, feed it oats and clean up after the horse. That would not be very pleasant. So there's that. But I think the ultimate of them all, and I know I'll get some grief for this too, but I think the ultimate of all the animals is dogs. And I think the reasons are self-evident. They're very intelligent. I've read that they can reach the intelligence of an 8-year-old human. And they are very capable of knowing their name, your name, words, and tricks and commands. And they're extraordinarily empathetic, to where they can really pick up on what you're feeling and reflect that in their behavior. So having a dog to comfort you through these difficult times is, I think, an excellent thing to do. It's what I do. Even though I'm in heart failure on hospice at home, I still have a dog that I take care of, and he definitely provides a lot to me. I'll get a little bit more into that here in the next segment. So why did I want to do a whole segment on dogs with this topic? Well, kind of a no-brainer. I am a dog lover. It's evident throughout my podcast at multiple times. And I really wanted to dedicate one podcast just really to them. And say outright that they definitely give a lot to me as I suffer with this heart failure and my slow death. Now, when I first entered hospice care, I had a dog, a dachshund, who I loved tremendously. I don't even have the words for it. I raised him since he was a little pup, just off his mom. And at the time, he could literally fit in the palm of my hand. He was so small. And from that moment, I just raised him. And he was with me for a long 15 years. And you have to think about it, 15 years of my adult life at this point is a huge portion of that. It is maybe almost the majority of my adult life. I'd have to do the arithmetic. I don't want to. But he's been a major contributor for me. And a major friend and a major companion. So 2 years ago when he died, the week of Thanksgiving, totally unexpectedly. He was 15, sure, but he showed no signs of distress or illness. He ate his whole dinner the night before, was chewing on a bone during the day, playing, cuddling, showed absolutely no issue until later at night. He had a diarrhea that was mostly blood, so he was rushed to the animal hospital, and I totally thought he would be fine. But very quickly after he arrived at the hospital, he collapsed and died. And they tried to revive him, and it failed. So there were days and days and days where I was just crying. Non-stop, just sobbing. It's hard for me, even today, to think of him and not cry. He was a very good companion. He was my best friend. Having lost him, I felt I had nothing left. My sister-in-law later confided in me that she thought I would not live through the night, that I would take my own life. Well, I didn't do that, obviously. And I continued on living regardless. I waited about a year. And after a lot of pressure from peers, I decided to get another dog again. And I remember a friend of mine sent me a large image of a dog available for adoption, you know, at a foster family or something. And then below it was the low icons of other dogs you could scroll to. And my eyes went down there at the other dogs, not the one that filled 7/8 of the page. But when I looked at the other dogs that were available, just, you know, as small images you could scroll through on the bottom, I immediately zoned in on one. And wanted more information on him. And I don't know why. I just had a weird pull to this animal that I'd never seen before. So he was brought over to introduce himself to me. I mean, that is his foster mom took it over. And we hit it off, and I said right there, I want to adopt. And she came back later, after a few days with the paperwork, and I adopted him. She said, you know, you could change his name. And I said, oh, come on, he has a sense of who he is. He already has a name. He's, you know, 3 years old. I'm not going to mess with his head and try to give him a new name. So he stuck to the old name he had. And he had an unusual history itself. He was picked up at a drug bust at a double wide trailer in New Mexico on an Indian reservation. And while he was there, he was picked up by the police. I guess they were manufacturing meth and fentanyl at this double wide trailer he was being held in. And so I adopted him, and much to my surprise, he's absolutely the smartest dog I've ever known in my entire life. I've always owned a dog. Since a little kid, I went through dogs, you know. So I've had my fair share, and I've met lots of other dogs, obviously. He's the smartest by far. He knows his name, he knows my name, he knows words, he knows names of toys, he knows so much of what I say, it scares me at times. It really does. He is freakishly intelligent, in my view. And he's my new companion and my new friend. Now, my old dog, I have his ashes and a little shrine to him in one of my rooms in my place here. I never will stop loving him, who passed away. But I also love and adore this new dog, who continues to shock me with how smart he is and how intuitive he is, and his ability to read emotions is just incredible. I'm sitting next to him right now. And having him in my life has definitely, absolutely, I say unequivocally, he has saved my life many times. Because if I didn't have him, there would have been many times when I just felt I had no one. And I would have absolutely have punched my own ticket. But now I don't have that option whatsoever, because I've got a beautiful little man, little dog, to take care of. And it's amazing how your depression and your worry over your own issues fade when you're taking care of somebody else. That's really, I think, the magic here. Once you start to care and really feel for somebody else, your own issues tend to melt away. So, even though my days are numbered, I have this little guy to keep me going for as much as I can, because I don't want him to be left alone. That scares me. I don't want him to be left alone. So I push hard every day to stay alive. Just this one thing, this one furry little companion has given my life tremendous meaning, a reason to live. And tremendous relief from the suffering and pain that is so obtuse every single day. I absolutely wouldn't have it any other way. I absolutely love this dog. So much. Now, there's a lot of other things I can talk about today. But honestly, I'm going to leave it at that. Because I don't really want to degrade my emphasis on this particular podcast where I share my admiration for my furry friend. So I'm not going to add much of anything else to this podcast. Actually, I'm not going to add anything else because what I get through caring for another living creature and feeling that reward through their love and loyalty is a topic in and of itself and should be treated alone as a separate topic of importance. You know, I share it here because this is absolutely one way that I cope with my deteriorating health prospects. And it gives me a certain kind of drive . I don't want him to be alone. I don't want to go away. And I'm trying desperately to make appropriate arrangements for him, should that happen. Because I have to be honest with myself. Dogs that easily last, my last one lasted 15 years. I doubt I have that kind of timeline. So I am just going to leave it at that. I know I'll catch some hate for it, especially when I say what I had to say about cats. And I'm going to be totally blunt with the universe right now. I hate cats. Now, I know dogs aren't liked in the Islamic world because they're dirty. I think it's because Muhammad didn't like dogs for some reason. That's just so sad to me. They abuse dogs or darned up dogs a lot in the Muslim world, and yeah, I guess I am just haram and I will have a dog at my side. But I know, work for him, I would probably not be here today. Absolutely. So, on that note, I'm probably just going to close out this podcast and say that's all for this week. But if you made it this far listening to this podcast, I tremendously thank you. I seriously do thank you for listening to my endless banter. Or a better word, it would be babbling. And I appreciate you giving me just a wee bit of time in your busy life. So, I appreciate that. But now, I have to sign off, and we'll try to get into things a little bit more next week. But until then, ciao for now.